Me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to be reading a significant part of the first part of this chapter. And the reason why we're there is obviously today is Mother's Day. And as I was thinking and preparing this week, I thought, you know, what is the basis? Why do we honor our mothers? And I thought of the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So we're going to read the Exodus chapter 20 is the giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. You remember that the nation God had redeemed his people Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He brought them to Mount Sinai where he gave them the Ten Commandments, and through those Ten Commandments are the Old Testament covenant. This was the document, if you will, that bound the Lord to his people. These were the rules that God's people were to keep. And if they kept them, they would experience God's rich blessing. And if they turned away from them, they would experience God's cursing. And of course, all of the other laws, the sacrificial laws and the ceremonial laws, all flow out of these Ten Commandments. And this is what is referred to in the Bible as the moral law of God. This moral law never ceases. And Jesus came and he said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fill it. This is what he was referring to. Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled the Ten Commandments for us. Any who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have his finished work, fulfilling these commandments on our behalf so that we can experience God's favor and his blessing. So let's read Exodus chapter 20 together. And God spoke all these words, saying. So this is very interesting because God actually spoke on that day. The nation of Israel heard God speaking these commandments, these words to them. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of slavery, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you nor your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now we refer to those first four commandments as the first table of the law. They're all directed towards God. You remember that when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? His answer was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this is a summary of these four commandments. Now we look to the last six, which are directed towards others. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. So there we have the second table of the law, and you remember that when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the first part, love the Lord your God, and then he summarized the second part. Do you remember that? Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? Now, we continue reading here. Now, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Now, Canada and many other countries set aside one day in 365 to honor mothers, and we do the same for fathers. I did a little bit of research this week, and turns out that that came into practice in around 1908 in the United States, and other countries followed. It was celebrated in many other forms in different countries before that, but this is the Mother's Day that we celebrate. Now, while most Christians observe this day, we don't do so because the world has something that we don't. You know that, right? We don't. It's not like the world has something to teach us about honoring our mothers. Long before there was a Mother's Day, God gave the fifth commandment, in which he commands us to honor our mothers and fathers, not just one day a year, but every day, all day, 24 hours a day. This honoring is not only to be external, but more importantly, internal. It's an attitude of the heart. Giving flowers, taking your mother out to eat, and all of the other gifts are nice ways to honor your mother. But what is most important in the eyes of God is the kind of honor that flows out of a heart of gratitude and thankfulness and reverence. It's very easy to give a gift or to do something, but quite another to cultivate this attitude that is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Remember, it's very easy to do something on the outward and have a heart that is far away from what the deed should illustrate. And for this reason, the scriptures tell us that man looks on the outward appearance. That's how we tend to judge one another, on outward appearance, outward behavior. But the Bible tells us that God, he's most concerned about the heart. He wants a heart that manifests the qualities that he's looking for. So when we consider God's requirement for honoring our mothers, the world does not even come close to the expectations and the demands that God sets before us, as we're going to discover this morning. Now this morning, we're going to consider the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And we're going to look at other passages in the Bible that quote this verse, quote this commandment, so that we can learn what God requires of it. What does this honoring actually look like? So in the fifth commandment, we read, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." That's it in a nutshell. In this commandment, it's very clear that God requires the honoring of both father and mother. And we note that there is a promise, an incentive or reward, if you will, for obedience. Now, sometimes we have this temptation to think that, you know, if there's a reward connected to something, that somehow that reward is evil. Well, God knows the human heart. And he gives us a reward because he wants to encourage us towards this, obeying this command. "I'm going to bless you if you obey me," is really what he is saying. And in this particular verse, the promise is that those in Israel who obeyed this command would live long in the land. Now, at first glance, we might think, okay, well, you know, Canada's been around for 150 years, and you know, we might take that for granted, right? But you see, God had redeemed Israel out of slavery, and he brought them into the promised land, and in order to possess that promised land, Israel had to conquer many enemies and take that land. And God told Israel that there would be pressures upon them in that land to turn away from him. And so he told them, he said, "Be careful, be faithful, don't turn away from me, because if you obey me, you're going to be so blessed. You're not going to be able to know what to do with a blessing. But if you turn away from me, I will curse you. I will curse you. I'll bring trouble, I'll bring your enemies against you, It's going to be terrible. So obey me and experience my blessing. That's really what God says to his people. Now, we need to ask ourselves, this is all preliminary as we are thinking about this commandment. How serious is this command? Like, is this a command that we can go, well, that's fine for some people, but, you know, not for me. We might be tempted to say that of the Ten Commandments, murder is the most evil of all the sins that are covered there. Does that make sense? Well, you know, if we really are concerned with the glory of God, we might also, you know, refer to the making of idols and bowing down to idols. But, you know, on a practical, everyday basis, we would probably say, yeah, murder's a biggie. Killing somebody else is a big one. However, I want to challenge you and say, if you took that view, you'd actually be wrong. The penalty we find in the scriptures is the same for breaking either of these commandments. You remember that God said, you shall not murder. When you murder somebody who is made in the image of God, it's a direct attack on God himself. That's why God commanded capital punishment. Our nation and the nation south of us and many nations are actually living in disobedience to God's command. If you commit premeditated murder, that is attack on God, and God has said anybody that does that should be put to death, must be put to death. We're suffering the consequences as the result of that, but that's another sermon. But notice that the penalty is the same for breaking this commandment of honoring your father and mother. I'm going to say something that is shocking to many of you. God commands that children who dishonor, revile, curse, or slander their parents be put to death. That's pretty serious. That's pretty serious. It seems, you know, when I first read that, I thought, wow, God seems to be going way overboard on this one, right? Isn't that what we would normally think? Seems like that's a pretty serious consequence for dishonoring parents. But I want you to think for a moment of the consequences of disobeying this commandment. Remember what happened to the generation after those who entered the promised land. I want to read to you from Judges chapter 2. It's about six verses, and they'll be up on the screen for you. Judges chapter 2. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. This is speaking about the generation that came in, they conquered the land, they were faithful to God. That generation passed away, and there rose another generation after them, that's their children, who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Why didn't these people, this next generation, know the Lord or the work that was done? Because their parents didn't teach them. Okay, now read the result. And the people of Israel, as a result, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. They simply turned away from God and worshipped idols. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. And he sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned and the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. My friends, you have to remember that Israel had committed itself to a covenant relationship with God. They had agreed to the blessings and the curses. And when Israel turned away from the covenant, God was faithful to curse them. Not because he hated them, but because he loved them, and those cursings were designed to bring them back to himself. We see that ultimately, both Judah and Israel went into captivity hundreds of years later. You know, the Bible says God is slow to anger and abounding in compassion. And this is amazing that for probably 500 plus years, God waited for his people. He worked with them. He disciplined them. He blessed them. He kept on working with them. And when they finally proved to be stubborn and stiff-necked and rebellious, God gave them into the hands of their enemies. And it was terrible. It was a huge slaughter. Many people in Israel and Judah were put to death when the Assyrians and the Babylonians came in and conquered them and carried them away into exile. So, my friends, this is why the consequences of not honoring the fifth commandment are so severe. Because God knows that if parents do not teach their children to first of all, obey and honor them, they will not obey and honor God, and then they will bring upon themselves God's terrible wrath. And I want to say to you today as your pastor that this is where we are in Canada today. Sadly, we are experiencing a generation who do not know God. More often than not, when you talk to somebody off the street, you can talk about Jesus, you can talk about the church, and they will look at you with a blank look on their face. Who's Jesus? What's the church? They haven't been taught. And my friends, we're not a Christian nation, but these principles apply in any nation, anywhere upon the earth. That when we turn away from the Lord and we embrace what is evil, God curses that nation and we are under God's curse as a nation. Now, I haven't lost hope because I know that God is a merciful God and I cry out to him, Lord, have mercy upon our land. And you know, if that's going to happen, I believe that God must revive his church. Do you believe that? And my friends, where does that need to start? Right here in my own heart. Are you praying for that? Are you praying that God will revive you in the midst of these evil days? Because my friends, that's where it starts. Man, I'll tell you, I would be excited and amazed if God was pleased to start that work here at Eastwood. That would be so awesome. A little scary, but very awesome. So this command is very serious. Fast forward 3,500. So we've read in Joshua where God cursed his people because they turned away from him. Fast forward 3,500 years to our present day, and we find the same problem. Our culture has, for the most part, lost the biblical understanding of honoring our parents, honoring those in authority. In our culture, we instead honor ourselves. We are the center of our universe. I'm the captain of my destiny, the master of my fate. The famous poet says. The unwritten attitude of most people is, after me, you come first. We don't honor the police unless we're getting a ticket. But then we do so for our own advantage, hoping to escape having to pay the fine. Bosses are honored for the same selfish reason as police officers, for out of self-interest. If Facebook is any indicator, we certainly don't honor our political leaders. Teachers, and I'm thinking right now of school teachers, for the most part, are not honored by their students, and often their parents are to blame for this. Many teachers can tell you about students that have been clearly evil and wicked in their behavior, and their parents come to their aid and attack the teacher or attack the school. My friends, that is doing just the opposite of what parents are commanded to do in the scriptures, to teach children to obey and honor those who are in authority. Because you see, if you learn to obey mom and dad, you're going to learn to obey police officers, and you're going to learn to obey your government. The closest we come to honor in our culture is when someone in our military loses their life in the line of duty. And you know, the Highway of Heroes, and people are lined up on those bridges. I mean, that to me, that would be probably the closest we come to honoring someone. I want you to remember, as we think about this, Paul's warning to Timothy about the attitudes of those in the last days. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Again, this will be up on your screen for you. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Very interesting, this last verse, isn't it? Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Have nothing to do with them. Be separate from them. Don't make them your close friends. Okay? So this is a description of the days. I believe these are a description of the days that we're living in. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm discouraged. You know, all you have to do is drive around in your cars and watch how people drive. And you'll find out very quickly many of these things that are written in this passage. People are lovers of themselves. They're lovers of themselves. 2 Timothy, Paul goes on to say in 4:3-4, he says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." My friends, we live in those days. The days we are living in mirror what Paul had predicted. And the question for us as believers is, are we going to honor God by honoring our parents as he commands and instructs us, or are we going to let the world dictate our attitude and our behavior? What we decide will determine whether we experience God's favor or his wrath and displeasure. And I trust that if you're a Bible-believing Christian here this morning, that you want to know God's blessing and his favor. So let's take some time now to look at what it means, what God meant when he said, "Honor your father and your mother." Now, the verse that we looked at this morning, we're asking here, what does honor mean? The verse that we're looking at this morning is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And we've already read that. It won't be up on your screen. Depending on the context, this word honor means heavy or weighty. The picture that I have in my mind is a bar of gold. Now, if you pick up a bar of gold, you know that is heavy. And it usually shows you that it's something that is valuable. So if you think about something that is manufactured, generally if something is heavy, what does it convey to you? It's well made, well constructed, thoughtfully, it's going to last. If something is light, if it's flimsy, if it's made out of plastic or white metal, you know what's going to happen, right? Pretty soon it's going to be filed in the circular file. So heavy or weighty. It means to be in a situation, in some context, this word honor, translated a different way, can mean to be in a situation of increasing prosperity and thus have a high status. So we know in our culture that when somebody is rich, we tend to treat them with more respect, right? It means to be in a state of being great or wonderful. That's what this term, depending on the context, this is what this term honor means. So if we were to kind of crystallize that and summarize it, honor then means to recognize in your parents something of high value, people to be honored, people who are great. Now, I know that as I say that, I'm convicted, okay? Not because I don't honor my parents, but because I don't think that I've really thought about it that way, that my parents, your parents, are weighty in the eyes of God. They are valuable in the eyes of God. They are holy in the eyes of God. And so we need to be careful when we think about this to separate actions and attitudes of parents from their God-ordained position, because some of you know that you had parents that, you know, just like our political leaders. Many of you look at our political leaders and go, they don't deserve respect. Good, good. I didn't hear anybody yelling out amen. All right? And it's true. Some of the things that are being done, the laws that are being passed, are evil and wicked. But what are we called to do as God's people? We are to honor those whom God has placed over them. Why? Because the scriptures say that every position of authority has been placed there by God. So we don't have to agree with what they're doing, but God commands us to honor them because of the place that they hold. So those of you who have parents, and you go, but Tim, you don't know my dad, or you don't know my mother. No, I don't, but I do know what God has commanded you, regardless of that. Honor them. Honor them. Now, to flesh out what this honor means, let's look at other places in the Bible where this command is quoted. And I don't think we'll get through all of my message this morning, but we're going to make a start, and then if I don't get done, we'll finish up on Father's Day. First of all, we want to consider honoring versus reviling. Okay? One of the ways in which we learn what something means in the scriptures is to look at what its opposite is. So if we turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4, honoring is contrasted with reviling. So Matthew 15, 4 says, "For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die." Now again, this term honor here means to show esteem or respect. It is the worth that one ascribes to a person. And to revile means to use foul or abusive language, to speak evil of, to curse, to make false or defamatory statements. That's what it means to revile a parent. Now, how serious is this in God's eyes? Well, we noted that, and remember, we're quoting Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4, and he's quoting the Old Testament, "Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die." My friends, this is how serious this command is. We need to remember that God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if the fifth commandment was worthy of the death penalty 3,500 years ago, it's worth the death penalty today in the eyes of God. So be careful, my friends, my Christian brothers. Don't minimize what God has said, what he said in his word. We need to be very, this should encourage us to look very, very carefully, long and hard at this command. So even though the death penalty is no longer enforced in our land, this does not mean that God looks on the violation of the fifth commandment any less seriously. So let me ask you, how serious is honoring your parents in your own heart? When God looks into your heart, does he see the same passion for this command that he has? Because remember, that's what God requires of us, right? What did God say? Be holy as I am holy, and be perfect as I am perfect. God wants us to be like him. We ignore this command to our own shame and hurt, and that of our children, and ultimately our culture. Exodus 21, verse 17 says, "Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death." That word curse means to invoke harm, to wish harm on them, to actually speak it. You know, in the Old Testament, somebody might say to their parent, if they didn't like what they were doing, they would say, may you go to hell. That would be a curse. I hope nobody's ever said that to your parents. If you have, repent of it. There is forgiveness, okay? That's an evil thing to say to your parents. It's an evil thing to say to anyone, but especially our parents. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11 says that there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Do you see how oftentimes in the scriptures, this is going to be helpful for you if you're in daily Bible study. Oftentimes, the way the scriptures communicate things is they'll communicate a positive and a negative, and they're both saying the same thing. And so they actually help us understand what the author is trying to communicate. So that word bless means to speak words invoking divine favor. May God's richest blessing be upon you. That's a blessing. With the intent that the object have favorable circumstances at a future date. You're wishing good for the person that you bless. That's what God wants. That's the attitude we need to have towards our parents, to wish good on another, always speaking well, wishing the best, and cursing is the opposite. So we note from this that God requires all children, regardless of age. So everybody here, I don't see anybody here who came into this world apart from a mother. Okay, so to whom does this commandment apply? Every single one of us, no matter how young or old we may be. God requires all children, regardless of age, to positively acknowledge father and mother, to speak well of them, to honor them, to desire God's best for them. Anything less than this is a violation of God's will. Now, I want to give you a positive example of this in the scriptures. It's always good to illustrate scripture with scripture. So I want you to think for a moment about Ruth. Do you remember Ruth? Ruth in the whole, we have a book in the Bible, four chapters. You could read that this afternoon in about 15 or 20 minutes. Good read. But let's think for a moment about Ruth. Her mother-in-law, Naomi and Elimelech, had left Israel and traveled into Moab because there was a famine in the land. They were trying to escape, and they obviously wanted to be able to eat and not starve. While they were there, Elimelech died, and so did Naomi's two sons. Now, for us, we don't think too much about that because we have a social safety net, right? No social safety net in the Old Testament. If a woman, the only way, and remember that women were not taught a trade. They didn't go to school. So women were designed, or not designed, that's not the right word. Women were expected to live either in the house of their father, a brother, or their husband. And the father, husband, brother, wherever, whatever their circumstances were, they were to take care of the woman. That was her protection, and that was her provision. Naomi's got zip. No husband, no sons. She's destitute. Now, oftentimes, when a woman found herself in this position, she would have been reduced to begging, poverty. She could be easily oppressed. Women in this situation sometimes prostituted themselves because they had no other way of providing for themselves. And if you're wondering about that, all you have to do is go to India today, in countries like that, where it's very common, very sad. So this was a terrible calamity that had befallen Naomi. Now, Naomi certainly saw herself as under the curse of God. Doesn't mean she was. But that's what Naomi says about herself. God has cursed me. I must have done something wrong. God's anger is against me. Now, in this situation, Ruth and Orpah have, Naomi says, listen, God's abandoned me. I'm going to go back to my country. I got nothing for you. You might as well go home to your own families where, you know, you can go back to the house of your father and he'll take care of you and maybe you'll find another husband. Orpah takes the opportunity. She leaves. Ruth says, absolutely not. I'm going to go with you. And we have that, I don't know if you know this, but oftentimes in marriage vows, you know where it says, your God shall be my God. And that's actually a statement. That's what Ruth said to Naomi. She says, I will not leave you. Your God is going to be my God. And wherever you go, I go. And where you die, I will die. This was phenomenal, because what's Ruth joining herself to? Zero. She's got nothing. She's joining herself to a woman who's got, Naomi, who's got no prospects, no husband. She's an old woman who's going to want her. And now Ruth's going to leave her country, her place of safety, and she's going to go with Naomi to a foreign land, foreign people. It's astonishing. It's astonishing. And Ruth did this knowing that the only support that Naomi would have is if Ruth did menial labor. And so where do we find her when they get to Israel? Ruth is going through the fields gleaning. Now, that's not a very fun job. Okay, if you think about October of this year, we don't want to think about that, do we? Okay, but if you think about October, September, October, when the harvests come and all the wheat is taken off the field, there are bits of grain that are left on the ground. And what God said to Israel in his compassion for the poor is he said, He told the Israelites that when you harvest your field, I want you to leave a strip along the outside of the field. I don't know how big it was, we're not told. And if they were gathering a sheaf and some wheat fell down, they weren't to pick it up. And they were to do that so that the poor could come and pick up those pieces and have something to eat. And Ruth, this is what Ruth did. This is what she committed herself to do. Do you see the cost that Ruth paid in order to honor Naomi? It's odd. I mean, you know, when I think about it, I go, wow, who does that? But what a powerful picture. And I want you to think for a moment about the rewards that Ruth experienced as a result of honoring Naomi. Ruth honored Naomi, and she was rewarded with a godly husband. And along with that, she was given a long life, and she was given a place in the lineage of the Messiah. She was the, now I might be wrong on this, so don't quote me, but I think she was the great-grandmother of King David. And you know that out of the line of King David came the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how the Lord honored Ruth? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. My friends, Ruth experienced that wonderful, wonderful blessing because she honored her mother-in-law. All right, let's look at one more point here, and then I'll leave the rest until Father's Day. Let's look at honoring versus revering. Honoring and revering. So we've looked at honoring versus reviling. Now we're looking at honoring versus and revering. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3 says, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Now that word revere, a little bit different from the word honor, means to acknowledge the high status of the one in authority and give them the appropriate honor, even bordering on fear. Okay? Fear, why fear? Because they have power. They have power over you. Now the reason for their high status is that God has given mother and father the responsibility of raising godly offspring for him. This is why we are to honor our parents. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Did he not make them one?" God is chastising his people for divorce. You know that divorce is a sin. Okay, it's easy in our society, but in the eyes of God, divorce is a sin. "Did he not make them one?" Because, see, this is what happens. When a husband and wife are married, God joins them together as one. "Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union?" And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. "So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth." So in this verse, we see God dealing with the issue of divorce because it destroys one of the primary purposes of marriage. Parents have a father and a mother, not just a mother, not just a father, but a father and a mother have a high responsibility and thus a high honor regardless of how they fulfill it. Okay, God created the family, father, mother, mother, father, children. Both a father and mother are necessary in God's eyes to teach children the way of the Lord, to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We live in a culture now where 50% of our children, 50% of our children are being raised by a single parent. Now I realize, you know, if you're here today and you're a single parent, I don't want you to feel guilty. But we need to recognize that this is not a blessing. This is a result of sin. And there's a curse that comes with it. Children need a father and a mother. That's what God has designed, and that's what God has purposed. Secondly, I want you to note that honoring mother and father and keeping Sabbaths are somehow connected. You remember what I told you just a little few moments ago, that when the scriptures say two things in a verse, oftentimes the author is saying them in different ways, but he's saying the same thing? So look at Leviticus 19, verse 3, it says, every one of you shall revere his father and his mother, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. Why? I mean, if you and I are honest, when we look at that verse, we go, how in the world do those two things go together? How do they speak to one another? But they do. Otherwise, the author wouldn't have put them together. So let's think about that for a moment. Honoring father, mother, and father is the outflow of honoring God by keeping his Sabbaths. He says, remember his Sabbaths. Now, when you think about that, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know what Sabbath is, a Sabbath was a rest day, one rest day in seven. So in the Old Testament, that was on Saturday. In the New Testament, it's Sunday. One rest day in seven, so that is the, where do we get that? Which commandment? Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So one rest day in seven, set aside from work in order to remember God as creator and submit to him as Lord and King. God knew that in the everyday struggles and challenges of life, that we're going to be pulled in many different directions. And so God said, I want you every Saturday in the Old Testament, every Sunday in the New, I want you to gather together and I want you to worship. And it is in that gathering together and worshiping that you're going to be reoriented, refocused upon God as the one true God and the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things. Okay? It's not your job. It's not your paycheck that you got on Friday that sustains you. It's God. Where did you get the power to make money? Where did you get the brains to get your degree? Where did you get your health to work all week? God. God, God, take a day. You know, I would encourage all of you, don't waste Sunday. You have this day. Our culture, for the most part, gives it to us. Honor it. Use it. Focus your mind. Refocus your mind and heart upon the Lord. Don't use it for your own pleasure, but use it to honor the Lord. Remember that there are 10 commandments in the Old Testament, and there are 10 commandments in the New. There is still a fourth commandment, okay? We keep it differently, and it's going to look different for every individual. There's no legislation around this, but our responsibility as God's people is to keep one day holy, to refocus the mind and the heart upon the Lord. Now, think about this. God concludes the first table with a positive command, remember, and starts the second the same way, honor. So the first table teaches how we are to love, obey, and honor God. So if you think about the three commandments, the three negatives, what are they? No other gods, no graven images, and don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Okay? And then he gives this positive, remember. In the second table teaches us how we are to love and obey and honor one another. And so it begins with honoring your parents. Positive. Honor parents as the first authority we experience in life, representing God's authority. Parents, if you teach your children to honor and obey you, there is a much greater chance that when they grow up, they will learn to honor and obey God. Okay? Very, very important principle there. Now, if we don't learn to honor our parents, there's also a good chance that we won't honor God. Now think about the rest of the commandments. Sixth commandment is what? Don't murder. Positively, preserve life because you are God's image bearers. This is why abortion is such a great evil. We're destroying people. My friends, even those who are committing abortions, the doctors and the nurses know that what they are aborting is not just flesh, not just an inanimate piece of flesh. It's a human being. It's life. It's great evil. Seventh commandment, preserve marriage by being sexually pure. The eighth commandment, preserve personal property rights by not stealing. The ninth commandment, preserve truth by being honest in all your dealings. And the tenth commandment, preserve contentment by submitting to divine providence. If God has given you a little bit, be joyful and rejoice in what God has given you. If God has given you much, be joyful and rejoice in what God has given you. Be content with what you have. Okay? So, now, and then what do we notice? Okay, we've gone through the Ten Commandments. What do we notice at the very heart of the Ten Commandments? Fourth commandment, I want you to honor God. Fifth commandment, I want you to honor mother and father. Isn't that interesting? We are to honor God as the first institution he has ordained. We are to honor God, we are to honor our mothers and fathers as the first institution he has ordained for the good of countries. Did you know that? That the family is the key. If the family falls apart, the church will fall apart and the country will fall apart. My friends, we are seeing that today. The LGBT agenda is an attack on the family. Destroy the family, and you will destroy the church, and you will destroy the country. It is sure to happen, my friends. I'm not a prophet, but I know what the scriptures teach. And that's why we as God's people, we shouldn't be standing there going, oh, those bad people. We ought to be falling on our knees, my friends, and saying, God, have mercy upon our land. My friends, if God sent fire from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah for these sins, he would be unjust to let us go unpunished. And God, don't mistake this, my friends. God is not unjust. Pray that God will have mercy upon us. So father and mother are God's ordained authority from which all other authority springs. If a child is taught to live rightly under parental authority, they will find it much easier to submit to the authority of the land and ultimately to the authority of God. So parents, if you have young children still in your home, you have a high responsibility to teach your children to love and respect you. Please, please, I beg you, don't listen to what the world tells you. Your child does not need more esteem. Your child does not need more pride. They've got a ton of it. That's why you have so many problems in your home. And if you let your children go, if you do not restrain that pride, if you don't restrain that selfishness, if you don't teach them to honor and respect you, you hate your child. That's what Proverbs says. The one who does not discipline his child hates him. Because you're setting up that child for a life of rebellion against authority. And ultimately, if that child goes before God as a rebel, they will go to hell for all eternity. So do you see how high a responsibility you have as parents? And the rest of you, you know, I look at myself, my children, my youngest is 22. Man, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God will give you wisdom and grace. It's much harder to raise your children today than it was when my children were young. I'm praying for you. Be faithful. Count the cost. There's always a benefit to doing things God's way. Remember, parents, that God has placed these children under your authority, and your job is to teach them to respect that authority so that one day they will respect God's authority. By honoring our parents, okay, going back, we've gone real close, now we're going to step back. A blanket statement, by honoring our parents, we preserve God's favor and blessing. Leviticus 19:3 concludes with, I am the Lord your God. Honor your mother and your father because you are in a covenant relationship with me. My friends, if you're a Christian here today, you don't have any choice. This is your response. This is your calling. To raise your children in such a way that when they step out of your home, they're no longer trying to please you. They're no longer trying to please their friends. They step out under the authority of God. It's seamless. They've learned to respect and honor you, and they're going to respect and honor God. And you know, even if that child never puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you will have raised a child to the honor and the glory of God. And that's our calling, my friends. Okay? So, some great teaching this morning from God's Word on what it means to honor our parents. We'll conclude this message in a month's time at Father's Day. Let's bow together now and pray and ask God to help us do these things that are way beyond our ability, right?